We are back, friends. Thanks for sticking with us here on the Jeff Farias Show, coming to you live right now on Roots Up Radio at thejefffariasshow.com and on Jerva Westeroy Local Community Radio, 91.1 in Stockholm, Sweden. Hey, we got a special guest on the line with us right now. Brian Wilkins is here. He started something called Operation Nation and the OpNatI blog. Basically, he's sort of found himself caught up in the legal system here in Arizona and is reaching out to try and end the abuse of the sheriffs, judges, and people within our government. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hello, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, just give us a little background on your case and how you got sucked into this whirlwind of dealing with the Arizona legal system.
Well, it all started back on July 22nd of 2008, and it was actually a neighbor of mine that he was, you know, actually kind of a meth head and everything, but you know, loved thy neighbor. I used to let him come hang out at my house and whatever, and. So one night, anyway, we were watching the Cubs and D-backs game. He comes into my house, long story short, with a knife in hand, demanding money and whatnot. And in Arizona, as you know, there's pretty lax gun laws. You can own a gun if it's legal and everything. So I pulled out my pistol and got him out of my home, but he charged at me again with a knife, and I shot at him a few times. I didn't want to kill him, so he runs off. And the killing thing is the guy was on parole and probation. He had just gotten out of prison. But he had he called the Tempe police and gave them this ridiculous story that they wanted to believe no matter what. He had sent me some extortion text messages, which I showed them as well, you know, ordering I pay him $1,000 or he calls the police. And long story short, I showed them that, tell them what happened. It didn't matter. I was charged with aggravated assault and with a deadly weapon and a bunch of other felonies. And then on January 20th of 2009, I was supposed to have a trial for all this. And once the trial date came up, the Maricopa County judge just simply canceled the trial as opposed to abiding to Arizona Rule of Criminal Procedure 8.5, which there's a bunch of steps you have to go through in order to continue a trial. But that was never done. And then 2 months later, I was at a settlement conference. They made me sign a plea agreement or go to prison. So I signed the plea, and now I just basically have to hope the Arizona Court of Appeals and the Arizona Supreme Court have a little bit more honor than the Maricopa County Superior Court.
Oh, my gosh. So you've been trying, in addition to trying to defend yourself, and you've been trying, again, learning a lot about the laws, you're also trying to get active into correcting some of the bigger picture issues and make sure others aren't thrown into the same kind of situation you're in, correct?
Well, that's absolutely correct. I actually got in contact. I'm sure you probably found me because of the protests this past weekend, yeah. But I've contacted a couple of the people that were arrested at the rally this weekend to let them know what they're about to face. What Maricopa County judges, prosecutors, the U.S. Constitution and the Arizona Constitution mean very little to them, and no matter if the law is cut and dried, what the wording of the law says and what you and I and everybody is taught in school as far as your right to trial, your right to your right to an attorney, your right to self-representation. Well, these are things that we just assume that you're going to get. But in Maricopa County and in a lot of other places, that's just not the case. And prosecutors, especially in Maricopa County, but everywhere else, you know, their goal is supposed to be justice, but most of them are worried about their winning percentage and worried about upholding a conviction because it's very embarrassing for them to convict somebody and then have it overturned. So what we're trying to do is explain to people and help people understand what their rights are and when to assert them and how to assert them, because if you don't assert them when you're supposed to, then your rights can just easily be taken away, and you sign all these papers that you really don't know what you're signing, and then it takes years to fix it if you can even fix it.
Boy, your story sounds resonant on some levels. There's a woman named Allison Hicks. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her. She was a tennis pro. Kind of had a similar thing. She was wrongly charged with something, got caught in this tailspin, did some time out at Tent City at one point, and it completely threw her life into the a whirlwind. And she's actually trying to make a film about her experiences because she's saying some of the similar things you were saying, that there is no sense of the pursuit of justice here, that there are people fought kind of on their own agendas, and they don't necessarily respect the things that we all take for granted in the Constitution. She was forced to sign some things that to plea, and it ended up coming back to haunt her and keeping her from actually getting any sort of legal redress. So it sounds like a pretty disturbing pattern we're seeing here in this county, in this state.
Well, and the thing is, one of the biggest problems with it in most cities, in most counties, the public defender's office and the prosecutor's office generally are separate entities. There's usually a city attorney's office that prosecutes the case and maybe a county public defender's office. Well, the public defenders and the prosecutors in this state all get paid by the same person. Mm-hmm. Right then, and you know, you can look at that for what it is. I mean, there's a fundamental conflict of interest just if you have a public defender representing you in a Maricopa County court. And what's even more interesting, I mean, there's 14 claims in all of my appeals, and it's just a matter of if the courts are honorable enough to look at them. But in my case specifically, once my right to trial was taken away, the public defender that I had, he was actually promoted up to a higher paying position once, you know, I had signed the papers that adjudicated the case so they can move on to something else. So it's even set up to where the more cases the public defenders in Maricopa County, the more cases that they can adjudicate without a trial, because obviously trials cost the state a lot of money, and that's the last thing they want to do. But the more cases that they can adjudicate without a trial, that's the more they're going to get paid. And with the prosecutors working with them, they all know each other. They've, you know, worked with each other. Most of them all went to Arizona State University or the University of Arizona. It's just kind of a circle of that you're going to have to navigate your way through. And it's difficult unless you have a paid attorney mm-hmm. who has either worked in the prosecutor's office or, you know, went to school with one of the judges that you're going to face. Otherwise, you know, you're going to face basically what I and many others in this county and really all over the country are going to face without any regard to the U.S. Constitution or your respective state's constitution.
Hey, what are your thoughts on the rally Saturday? You said you were out there?
Yeah, I was out there, and it's pretty sad that the incident with the Phoenix police thuggery at the end, it marred what was basically it was a really festive, really spiritual event, really family event. And it was just a great showing of unity with, mm-hmm. you know, people of, you know, all races, all ages, you know, just against this sheriff who has absolutely no regard for the law, the Constitution, you know, or the Arizona Constitution. And then it was just at the end, because I followed all the protesters to the very end, and then there was a little concert, and County Supervisor Mary Rose Wilcox, I'm sure you're familiar.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She did a little speech in Spanish, and then as I started walking back, that's when I started smelling the pepper spray. I actually missed the actual spraying of the pepper spray. I was about 2 minutes late, and then that's when I, you know, got down and started talking to everybody as far as what happened, and started exchanging video with everybody, but it was completely unprovoked. From when you get 10 to 12 people who hadn't talked to each other telling you the exact same thing, mm-hmm. it seems that it was completely unprovoked by just an overzealous Phoenix police officer who basically was getting kind of tired of some of the taunts. I mean, I will say that there were some taunts directed towards the police, but there was no assaults or anything like that, which is what 3 of the 5 individuals that were arrested were charged with aggravated assault on a police officer, and I just really can't even imagine how that's going to stick after a trial or anything like that.
Right. Well, and again, you start to get a sense that, you know, I'm kind of hearing the same thing from everybody. It was a very peaceful, very beautiful event, a celebration. I guess they didn't really want that to be what the news story was about, that it was a celebration against Sheriff Joe. They had to somehow turn it violent and then try and make it seem like this thing was 10,000 troublemakers got together to march through our streets and speak out against this our beloved sheriff.
That's exactly right. The first 5 hours, I got there at the Falcon Park at about 8:30 a.m. And, you know, for the first 3 hours, it was concerts. It was, I don't know if you've ever been to like an Indian powwow.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a two-hour spirit. I actually felt really connected to it, actually, myself. And just, you know, people giving speeches, people, you know, meeting each other, you know, children getting familiar with, you know, procedures and law and whatnot, or people showing their kids, you know, what to come when they get a little older. And then once the march started and everybody, we got down to 35th Avenue in Durango and took the left and then took another left, and we were at the end of it. And that was 5 hours into it, and it was just all a festival. It was basically a celebration of, you know, unity against, you know, a tyrannical figure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just didn't appreciate, I still don't appreciate the fact how media in this area has basically made that the entire day about, you know, a few people who were, you know, and really the people that were involved they didn't deserve what they got. They didn't deserve to be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But they made it about them as opposed to the cop who was the one that actually started all the mayhem. From what I understand and from what I actually saw, it was just people, you know, there were a lot of people out there. So obviously, you know, it's going to be crowded. You know, you're going to try and walk through, you're going to have to, you know, turn your body, contort your body a little bit. And it seemed that the police were trying to push people to one side and, you know, in not a very orderly way. And especially with horses in the middle of, you know, a crowd of people, I just don't even understand why the Phoenix police would feel that having horses in the middle of a crowd would be a reasonable way to control any sort of crowd in case something broke out. But I do believe it had to do with, you know, just having horses in the middle of a crowd. There was no way that was going to work, and the female officer apparently just got upset because somebody grazed her horse.
Mm.
And then just she wanted them to get back. And there's actually a video on the article that I wrote that you can actually see what she did once.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have the exact same video, but I have a YouTube of and it starts off almost as she's starting to spray the crowd, so you don't really see what, if anything, provoked it, which also lead me to believe if there was something provocative going on, the video would have caught it beforehand, but the video doesn't even start until she starts doing the spraying, so.
Right, and it didn't have to. I mean, there was really no, I mean, the police were basically there. I mean, for the most part, you know, there was a huge police presence at the entire rally, you know, throughout the day. And for the most of the day, they were really just there. They were controlling traffic. They were doing what, you know, what people expect their police to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just that moment, this lady, this female cop, I mean, that's just the fact of what she was, just seemed to, I think, some of the taunts, because, you know, she was walking her horse through the crowd, I think some of the taunts kind of got under her skin a little bit. And, you know, as a cop, I always say, if you read some of my writing, the cop stands for constitutionally protected.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do basically whatever you want to American citizens and not be held liable for it. And she just felt that, you know, if they're going to keep taunting me, then, you know, then I'll just exercise the power that I have. And next thing you know, I mean, I'm walking around, I just see a bunch of red-faced people, a bunch of children crying and people coughing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, an unprovoked attack by police when the media and the police are trying to make it sound like these five individuals were the ones that started it, and it's just simply not the case. And I don't, if they're going to charge them with this aggravated assault on a police officer and disorderly conduct, and I believe one of the individuals, I've spoken to three of the five, one of the individuals was Boys or some other charge. But the bottom line is they're not going to stick because there's so much video evidence of it. Mm-hmm. And I warned one of the young women that were arrested, Miss Grace Daniels, this morning. You know, I warned her at her next court date. She has a status conference a week or so. They're going to offer her a plea deal for undesignated felonies and that undesignated offenses.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds, you know, great. But what that is you're actually being charged with felonies until you complete some sort of probation term. So it's going to destroy your life. And I'm glad I got to her before some public defender did, which she and many of them are going to have to rely on because just lawyers are just way out of the you know, economic realm for most people to actually afford. But the next time she goes to court, a public defender and a prosecutor are going to offer her and everybody else plea deals so police can justify what they did, and the city can basically say, well, you know, they pled guilty, so the police were obviously in the right. And so I hope that they see the situation, the five individuals that were arrested, I hope they see the situation for what it is, see Maricopa County for what it is, and do not sign any papers and let this matter work itself out through the courts, through a trial, which I truly believe if they let that happen, and if the system actually works like it's supposed to, that none of them are actually going to face any serious charges and will probably actually be acquitted of all of them.
Hey, around the time of the conventions last summer, there's a group based up in Denver called the Midnight Special Law Collective. Have you ever heard of them? Are you familiar with them at all?
No, I have not heard of them.
I got your email. I'm going to try and connect you with the folks up there. But essentially, this is sort of the exact area that they deal with. It's a bunch of attorneys who've kind of got together to help advise people who are going into these kind of situations, into protests, about how to protect their rights, how to make sure they're not being abused by the police. And they also do some work after the fact for people who have been arrested, unduly arrested during protests and things like that. Midnight Special Law Collective is what they call, is what they're called. And I'm going to try and get you some links to it. Maybe this is somebody that you should be talking to, or maybe, you know, referring people that you're working with to as well. It seems like it's there's some connections between the kind of work you're doing and what they've been about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anybody out there who is looking to basically force judges and prosecutors and police to basically just do what they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. I mean, just do the job that you were sworn in to do. Those are the people that I try and work with and try and get in connection with. And what we're, and now, just after, I guess, that whole phrase, you know, no bad publicity, good publicity, bad publicity, mm-hmm. ever since I was arrested, well, people seem to want to write me about what's happened to them, and I'll write about what's happened to them on my site. And it seems to just, it brings more people and brings it to light that this isn't an isolated incident, and it's not even isolated as far as locale. This happens everywhere. Now, Maricopa County, yeah, it's one of the, you know, like a third world country right in the middle of the United States as far as the judicial system, but this happens everywhere. And until there's some sort of accountability, and like I said, the 11th Amendment just protects these judges, prosecutors, and cops no matter what they do, they can never be held accountable for their actions. Now, unless the U.S. Supreme Court is actually hearing a case of Pottawatomie County versus McGee that the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in Iowa actually upheld a lower court decision that allowed these two men that served 25 years in prison, it allowed them to sue the prosecutor for basically blatantly fabricating evidence against them.
Wow.
And, of course, the first defense of the prosecutors, where they have absolute immunity via the 11th Amendment, but the Eighth Circuit upheld the district court's decision, and then now there's certiorari in the U.S. Supreme Court. So if that's actually the case I'm watching right now, because that would be the first step towards totally repealing the 11th Amendment, at least to the point that if you can catch a prosecutor just completely lying and fabricating evidence, if that Potawatomi decision is upheld by the Supreme Court, well, that's going to give Americans a big boost as far as their rights and as far as, you know, procedures in the courts if you're ever accused of a crime in any court in any state in the country.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of faith in our current Supreme Court to side with the people over the powerful, unfortunately. So it may take a little time before we get the kind of rulings on that is going to offer any kind of help to people like us.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm hoping that it's basically going to come down to what Justice Kennedy thinks. We know how
right. We
know how four of them are going to vote. And we know how the other four of them are going to vote. So we really shouldn't, as Americans, shouldn't have to worry about our Supreme Court's political positions. It's sad that we have to.
Yeah.
But this decision is really going to come down to what Justice Kennedy says.
Wow. Amazing. Hey, Brian, let people know, give them the website, let them know what they can do if they want to check out more about what you're doing. If there's anything listeners can do to help you, please speak up now. Let us know.
Yeah, well, what you can do, just go to www.operation-nation.com, just like it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
What we really just appreciate, you know, comments on the stories. We don't, if you're totally against it, if you're for it, I mean, it's just a good forum for people to, you know, voice their opinions about police brutality, about prosecutorial misconduct. We get a lot of people who, you know, say that, hey, I am totally for our law system and whatnot, but it's always when it happens to somebody they know or happens to them that their eyes open. But yeah, just go to www.operation-nation.com. Just read about, you know, some of the things on there. You can email me directly if there's ever been something that's happened to you or going on with you right now. I'll look into your state laws. I've actually become pretty well versed in law in all 50 states and the federal criminal and civil procedures. And I'll try and do anything I can as far as giving you some advice as far as how to approach a public defender if you have them, and to assert whatever rights you may have. And hopefully our network gets big enough to the point that, you know, we're the place people stop, that if you're ever accused of a crime, that you just know your rights and know how to assert them in the court of law.
Brian Wilkins, again, operation-nation.com is the website, folks. Go check that out. Brian, thanks for taking time, particularly on short notice like this, to come on the air today and to talk about your experiences and the advocacy work you're doing to help others in similar situations. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you very much for having me on.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. I don't have him up yet, but we'll get links to Brian's site and his bio up on the website at some point today. So hang with it. We're going to grab a quick break now, 55 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back. Still have lots of stuff on MLK. Still, if you were at the protest, I'd love to hear your recollections, what you saw, what you felt. Phone lines are open for that sort of thing. We'll be right back. Stick around, friends.